Presented by Business Roundtable.
Hey, good morning. I'm Playbook co-author Rachel Bade. It's Tuesday, April 16th. Here's what's driving the day. The first ever criminal trial of a former president kicked off in a Manhattan courtroom yesterday with about as much fanfare as you'd expect. Yes, wall-to-wall coverage on just about every major TV network. Jury selection for the hush money case against Donald Trump is officially underway, but the big news of the morning actually focused more on Trump's angry social media tirades against Michael Cohen. That's obviously the prosecution's star witness and his former fixer. Which, of course, comes as Trump is under a gag order by the judge. So much for that. The trial continues today. This afternoon, House Republicans will be carrying over the articles of impeachment against DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. That's going to tee up a Senate trial to begin as early as tomorrow, when we expect Democrats to quickly dismiss this case altogether. But the big news of the day, Speaker Johnson finally makes his move on Ukraine aid. After months of stalling on the Senate-passed foreign assistance package, Johnson has finally laid out a plan to take up what is likely to be the trickiest legislative issue of his speakership yet. Just as he said he wanted to do months ago, Johnson is proposing separate votes on Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan funding, plus a sidecar that includes a couple things, including turning foreign aid into loans, using frozen Russian assets to help Ukraine, and even a TikTok ban. The package would then be knitted together after it was voted separately in the House and sent over to the Senate as a single vehicle. Now, there are a ton of unanswered questions, not only about the content of the bill, which, by the way, has yet to be released, but also the process and whether this can move through the House and, subsequently, the Senate. But I did spend last night working the phones to gather reaction from all corners of the Congress, and the upshot is this. From some conservative Ukraine skeptics to very senior Hill Democrats, folks think that this actually might have legs. We'll start on the right. Senior Republicans were sort of bracing for a conference meltdown yesterday over this plan, but they were surprised by how little vitriol they heard from their rank-and-file members. Sure, Marjorie Taylor Greene is still out there blasting funding for Ukraine and threatening to take down Johnson's speakership in the process, but even some Ukraine skeptics have sort of held their fire, and that's in part because of the process. Johnson is basically acquiescing to these demands for separate votes, which allows conservatives to vote for Israel aid, but not for Ukraine. Even Freedom Caucus Chairman Bob Good, we hear, didn't actually jump down Johnson's throat in their closed-door meeting yesterday, and that's actually a big deal. Good argued that the entire thing should be offset and questioned the need for Ukraine aid, but the exchange actually wasn't super heated, we were told. The same tone sort of carried throughout last night's GOP conference meeting. Again, Republican aides telling me that there does appear to be a path forward in some way, but this rollout wasn't as bad as they thought it was going to be. The big question for Johnson, of course, is whether he can get this plan through the House Rules Committee with Republican votes, which is what he wants to do. To be sure, there are signs that perhaps the anger with the plan on the right hasn't fully manifested. Yesterday, Congressman Andy Biggs, a conservative, he had actually come out and said he was happy with the fact that there would be separate votes on these various foreign assistance packages in the House. But then he later took to Twitter last night to blast this idea of packaging them together to send them as one to the Senate. And there are already influential voices on the right who are piling on this idea, saying it's not good enough. So watch this space. On the left, this was the reply I got from one senior Democratic aide when I called him up for reaction last night. He told me, quote, "It's basically the Senate bill broken into pieces, and I heard elements of that throughout my calls with Democrats last night." Democrats may not like this process. I mean, publicly, leaders like Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer, they're waiting to weigh in until they see more details. But I was told across the board by my Democratic sources that they're inclined to support this plan if their current understanding of what's coming is actually correct. And not only will they help with passage, they could even assist with adopting the rule in the House, which is not something Democrats would typically do when they're in the minority. One Democratic source told me last night, quote, "It's not anybody's preferred path. It's much more complicated than it needs to be, but everybody's willing to play ball here." And that stands even though this package won't have conditions on aid for Israel. That has obviously become very popular with Democrats in light of the recent bloodshed in Gaza. But there appears to be a realization by senior Democrats that if they want to get Ukraine aid passed, the party can't get everything it wants. There are, of course, a number of big flashpoints still ahead. Number one, wild cards with amendments. To appease his right flank on process, Johnson is offering to open up this package for amendments, and that infuses this sort of element of uncertainty into the entire situation. While it's unlikely that Republicans will be able to attach border-related amendments, they'll basically be ruled not germane, conservatives could try to offer pay fors to offset Ukraine assistance that will repel Democrats. That could be a problem. Johnson's decision to allow amendments has perplexed even some senior Republicans I talked to last night. They're worried that a free-for-all could basically sink the bill, but allies of his are telling me that Democrats could also be allowed to offer a bunch of amendments, potentially to even require Israel aid be conditioned in some way. Fans of this idea close to Johnson argue that if lawmakers want to protect the bill, they could form these sort of unusual cross-party coalitions to protect the entire package from toxic provisions. We'll see if that happens. Number two, there will be some rules complications here. Johnson wants first to try to get Republicans to pass the rule, not use Democrats. He's considering a rather unorthodox idea that Congressman Matt Gaetz floated in conference last night. That's this idea of requiring the Senate to take an up or down vote on the House's border crackdown, H.R. 2, before the Senate could even move forward on passing foreign assistance. We're told Johnson is seriously considering this, and while the conference seems to like the idea, I'm not sure how this is going to sit with Schumer. Last thing to keep an eye on, aid for Gaza. There's been a little bit of confusion about whether this package will include the Senate's $10 billion worth of humanitarian assistance, which was essential for passing this package in the upper chamber. It notably was not included in this list of bullet points the Speaker's office sent around to reporters yesterday. We're told, however, that Democrats are under the impression that those funds will, in fact, be included based on their conversations with House GOP leadership. But if it isn't, we could be back to square one. So a lot of moving parts, and we'll be sure to keep you abreast on those throughout the week. And for the rest of your schedule today, the Senate and House will be in. And this afternoon, President Biden will travel to Scranton, Pennsylvania for a campaign event. I'm Rachel Bade. Thanks for listening.
Essential pro-growth tax policies have expired or are being phased out, making it more difficult for U.S. businesses to invest at home, create American jobs, and compete globally. The House has passed legislation to stop these tax increases on U.S. job creators. Now it's up to the Senate to act. It's time to strengthen America's global competitiveness. Pass the Tax Relief for American Families and Workers Act.